Hello. Thank you for stopping by today. This ministry is here to bring the transforming Word of God with power to you. Many today have questions like, who is this Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ relevant to my life today? What does it mean to be born again? Is the Bible even real, true, and practical? Who is the Holy Spirit? How can I receive my healing miracles? Are healing and miracles even for us today? By the help of the Holy Spirit, Bishop Odolaju will be answering these and many other questions as he teaches the Word of God. Get ready to be inspired, fed, encouraged, healed, and blessed. And now, here's Bishop for today's message.
The title of our message today is, Jesus Healed Them All. And we are going to be taking our text from the book of Matthew 12, from verse 9 to 15. And we're also going to look at Luke chapter number 6 as well. Let's open to book of Matthew 12. Matthew 12, if you have a Bible, open with me. If you're on the road, please keep your eyes on the road. But if you are sitting somewhere that you can get to a Bible, please open the Bible and keep your eyes upon the Bible and follow along. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, beginning from verse 9. Now, when he had departed from there, he went into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? Verse 11. Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if he falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and he was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitude followed him, and he healed them all.
Praise the Lord. In the church, not everyone received their healing. And this is not unlike when Jesus was here on earth. Today, we examine this important and sensitive topic to shed some light so we can enjoy all that God has for us. If someone, for example, goes to a doctor and has a known disease, typically, the doctor will diagnose the situation. After that, the doctor will consult with his colleagues, their books, or medical experience and training, and make a treatment plan and prescription. In most cases, if the diagnosis or treatment plan and prescription works, we have a happy patient and a successful doctor. Then they move on to the next patient. But if the prescription, for some reason, or the treatment plan does not work, the doctor may order additional tests, explore other therapeutic drugs. In some cases, they might even try experimental drugs. If that does not work, they may consult with other physicians in the same field, or they might even look for a specialist that specializes on that particular disease. If that does not work, they may refer to other hospital or physician that perhaps has more experience in that field than this doctor. They keep trying until they exhaust all possible options. My point with this analogy is they don't quit the first, the second, even the third try. In the church, however, when someone or the pastor or the minister pray for some people and nothing happens, or it seems like nothing is happening, people sometimes conclude, maybe it's not my time. Maybe it's not God's will for me. Maybe, a lot of maybes. And the list goes on. Why can't we at least approach this like a doctor would do, as we described above?
They will explore all kinds of options available to them until they get to the point that they say, you know what, this is it. We can't do anything for you. Ultimately, however, our pattern should be the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, going back to our passage that we read today in Matthew chapter 12, beginning from verse 9 to 15. If you pay attention to verse 15, which is the subject of this teaching today, the latter part of that verse said, Jesus healed them all. Like I said, this is part of our focus for today's message, and this is not an isolated case. Jesus had just healed the man with a withered hand, if you pay attention to the reading, on the Sabbath day. And according to the custom and the law of the Jews, this was unlawful. The Pharisees, when they saw the healing, they went out and held a council against him. If you look at verse 14. When Jesus found out, in verse 15, he withdrew from the scene, but a multitude followed him. Just a side note here. In any given crowd, no matter where you are, I think most people will agree a big majority in any crowd will need healing of some sort, whether it's minor or major. In this case, the Bible records that Jesus healed them all. Now, we can reinterpret this phrase, Jesus healed them all, in one of two ways. Number one, all of the multitudes were sick and they all got their healing miracle. In other words, let's say you have 100 people in the multitude or 1,000 people, the whole 1,000 got their healing. The second way you can interpret that is those in the multitude who were sick, whatever their number or ratio was, all of them got their healing. But either way you interpret it, they all got their healing miracle. Everyone that had a healing need in the crowd, whether it's a headache, cancer, whether it's a limb that has issues, they all got their healing miracle. Now, Luke, the Gospel of Luke, also recorded this event, and we find this in Luke chapter 6, from verse 17 to 19. Luke chapter 6, from verse 17 to 19. And Luke added an additional layer of revelation. If you remember, and if you study your Bible, Luke was a physician or a doctor. So every time Luke will write about healings, he gives some layers of his medical practice, his flavor as a physician comes into play. So let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 17. Luke chapter 6, verse 17. The Bible says here, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their disease, as well as those, verse 18, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirit, and they were healed. Verse 19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out of him, or from him, and healed them all. If you read the earlier verses before this, you will notice that Luke was recording the same thing that Matthew recorded that we just read in Matthew chapter number 12. So, the first thing that we notice is Luke said a great multitude out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon. This gives us a better idea of the size and the places where people came to be at this meeting that Jesus was holding. But the latter part of that verse added something that most people miss, which is, in quote, they came to hear him and to be healed. I will unpack that phrase some more in a moment. The next verse also added some additional revelation. The Bible said, and they that were vexed with unclean spirit, and they were healed. Wait a minute. I thought this crowd consisted of people who were sick, right? I mean, that's what we read in Matthew, and that's what we are reading here in the book of Luke. But this verse says some were vexed with unclean spirit, and they were ill. They were afflicted with unclean spirit. This means some sicknesses were caused by the presence of an unclean spirit. In such a case, the unclean spirit had to be expelled from the individual. And once this happened, the healing miracle followed. This is an amazing revelation because many in the church are oblivious to this truth. Some sickness and disease are caused by the presence of unclean spirits or demons. The remedy is to expel these demons, and what will follow is the healing miracle, as we can clearly see in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, if you move to verse 19, the Bible said the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue or power out of him and healed them. If you are reading from the King James Version or the New King James Version, it said virtue. But it can also, when you study this out, you find out that virtue is also speaking of power. That verse alone, we can study for months. It's packed with so much revelation on the subject of healing and miracles. But let's move on. The first question I have, if you are reading and you are like me, is why were the crowd seeking to touch Jesus? I want you to just picture that. I want you to be in the crowd and see what's happening. What could make the whole multitude, all of them, to seek to touch him? And now, I want you to picture that with me. I mean, I'm going to ask you, if you have ever been in a crowd, in a big crowd, they say a ball game at a stadium or a gospel concert or something in your school where there's a lot of people. Now imagine you all were trying to touch someone. Picture that. What sort of chaos that would look like? Well, this was what happened in this event, as recorded by Luke and Matthew and inspired by the Holy Spirit. All of them sought to touch him. Praise God. The Holy Spirit did not leave us without giving us the reason. Because you can, you know, you might be wondering why are they trying to touch him? You know, you think of a celebrity. When you see a celebrity at a airport or at a concert, everybody wants to touch that celebrity because, you know, he is a celebrity. But that's not the reason that people wanted to touch Jesus. The Bible said, inspired by the Holy Spirit, for power or virtue or anointing went out of him. And this virtue or power healed them all. Now, think with me for a second. Most people at some point have experienced a minor electric shock. If you haven't, I'm going to tell you, please don't try to induce it. It's not fun and it's not wise or safe. I'm not telling you to go and electrocute yourself. But if you have, you can remember how the current flowed through your body. In fact, in some cases, the hair all over your body will stand up. Well, this is the picture the Bible is painting here. Power, virtue, or anointing came out of Jesus and into the multitude, into the people that sought to touch him. This implies that the power, virtue in Jesus traveled like an electric current into the people when they made contact with Jesus. And when the power of virtue got into them, it drove out the sickness or the disease that was in them, or the demons, like Luke gave us extra layer of revelation. Praise the Lord. That's a great place to shout right there. Hallelujah. So between the account of Matthew and Luke, the book of Luke rather, we see clearly several things. Number one, healing is available for all. No one is exempted. Have you ever read anywhere where Jesus said to anyone, "You are not qualified"? Now, the only one I can think of is perhaps the Syrophoenician woman, as recorded in the book of Matthew 15, from verse 21 to 28, who, by the way, still got a miracle. Now, that's a message for another time. Number two, they came to hear Jesus. This is a place that many believers miss. Most Christians do not want to hear God's word. They are looking for a quick fix. They are looking for a magic trick. They are looking for a miracle ATM. But this group, they heard the word or the message first. But they did not stop there. They also came to be healed. Their agenda was twofold. They came to hear and they came to be healed. Number three, they took action based on what they heard. The Bible did not explicitly share what Jesus preached in this particular event, but we can infer from the text. He must have preached that he was anointed with power or virtue. How else can you explain the crowd surging to touch him. This reminds me of the woman with the issue of blood. Again, that's a message for another time. Then the fourth thing that happened was the healing and the miracle went into the crowd, and everyone in that crowd, according to the record of Matthew and Luke, got their miracle. So the question that must come into your mind is, how come we don't see everybody or everyone healed today? Even believers in the church, people that love God, and you know they love God, they know they love God. Well, what if I told you that Jesus, even the Lord Jesus Christ, did not heal all that he encountered? Now, before you start throwing stones at me, let me review another example in the ministry of Jesus and let the word of God settle it for us. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 6. If you have your Bible, open with me to Mark chapter 6, beginning from verse 1. Verse 1, the Bible said, "Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day had come, he began to teach in the synagogue." So picture that. "And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Verse 3, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joses, Judas, and Simon, and not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Verse 4, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could there do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Verse 6, and he marveled, because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit, teaching." Let's stop right there. I want you to notice verse 5 and 6. These are very powerful and very climatic for this passage, for this short passage. Before we get to verse 5 and 6, we see from verse 3, Jesus was in his hometown, amongst his own people. And then he went into the synagogue, and folks, his family, his friends, his relatives, were amazed. The Bible used the word astonished. And they didn't stop there. They started asking questions in their mind, or maybe even discussing it while the service was going on. Where did this man learn these things? What wisdom is this which has been given to him, that even mighty works are wrought by his hands? The question did not stop there. It continued. And they began to ask, is this not the carpenter? It's safe to believe some of them were probably his customer, because this was his hometown and he was a carpenter. That's a historical fact. And then they said, the son of Mary. I want to believe that some were probably Mary's friend, the mother of Jesus, neighbors. And then they mentioned the brother, this is not the brother, James, Jose, and Judah, and Simon. Perhaps there were some parents whose kids are friends to Jesus and Jesus' brother. And perhaps they were in the same soccer team or football team. These are possible. And not his sisters with us. So from here, we know that Jesus had at least 4 brothers and a minimum of 2 sisters. Sisters implied plural, more than one in the English language. But the worst of their critical attitude and their questions has not even happened yet. The last phrase in verse 3 gave us that insight. The Bible said they were offended at him. Now, to unpack this further will be at another message. But I want us to stay on point in what we are going about today. Jesus healed them all. And I just said that there are some situation and scenario where Jesus encounters some folks and he didn't heal them all. And this is one of them. Now, going back to verse 5 and 6. The Bible scripture records he could there do no mighty works except for some minor sicknesses, and they were very few.
if you look at the Amplified, they said they were minor ailments or sicknesses, and they were very, very few. This clearly, there were some healing miracles that happened, even at that meeting. But they were not mighty works, in quote, but rather minor healings, and they were not many. So the question that we might be asking is why? And thank God for the Holy Spirit. He did not leave us clueless. And we find the why in verse 6, the first part of verse 6. The Bible said, he marveled because of their unbelief. If you follow the ministry of Jesus, which I believe every Christian should, because he is the reason for the book, he is our master, he is our Lord. There are certain things the Bible records that marvels Jesus. Unbelief happens to be one of them. Marvel, if you look at your dictionary, is defined as to be filled with wonder and astonishment, which imply that Jesus expected more from his own family. This is a picture of the church today. The family of God. Those who are closest to Jesus. Those who should believe him. Those who should trust him. And gain the most benefit from him. Are the ones that are getting only few or minor sickness healings. Isn't this the case in the church? You go to many churches today. Very few are getting healed. And they are getting healed of minor sicknesses. In fact, you go to many churches, there is no healing, there is no miracles that's happening. The Bible said the problem was their unbelief. As you probably can tell from many pastors or many ministers or many friends that are believers, you know, say it's because there is no power. That's not the case. The Holy Spirit diagnosed the problem. The problem was their unbelief. It wasn't a lack of power. It wasn't a lack of God's willingness to do the miracle. It wasn't a lack of the love of God, because Jesus had accomplished everything that we need to effect your miracle, to effect your healing. The power of God is the same, no matter where, no matter who came in contact with him. Let me say that again. The power in the Word of God, the power of God is the same, irrespective of who or where you make contact with the Lord Jesus. The connecting plug or the point of contact to God's power is your faith. We can clearly see it in this passage. Jesus said he marveled because of their unbelief. And as a result, because of the unbelief in the atmosphere, the critical attitude, the questioning attitude, and their offense towards the Lord Jesus, they were not able to receive. Notice somewhere else in the latter part of verse 6, the Bible said he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around about the villages teaching. The verse or the version that I read, the New King James Version, said he went around in circuits. But if you look at other translations, it's basically saying he went around all the villages teaching. Now let's stop right there. Most Christians miss this part of the verse. The question that should come to your mind is, why did Jesus go about the villages teaching? Especially with the treatment he got from his own people, his family, and his own town. And like I said earlier, the body of Christ. The reaction or the treatment that he got from his own people, his family, is a picture of the church. Well, the reason is very simple. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In order to eradicate their unbelief, the attitude that he got at this particular event, he had to teach and preach the word of faith to them. We learn something here. God will not leave you in your terrible state. He will provide a means to elevate you to where you need to be. This implies that our church leaders, God's people, will not have faith in any given area of life unless we teach and preach the word. That is why I'm doing what I'm doing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word of God there is Rhema. There's a logos and the Rhema. The word of God, Rhema, that is spoken to you, produces faith on the inside of you. You must hear the Rhema, the word of God, for faith to come. And once faith is there, your connection to God's power is plugged in. So the question to you today is, which group do you belong? Or better yet, which group do you want to belong? The group or the person or the individual that is filled with doubt, offense, unbelief? Or you would rather belong to the group who sought to hear and touch him and add contagious faith? The choice is always yours. For me and my house, we choose faith and we choose to serve the Lord. What would you choose today? So when you look at the passages that we've looked at today, we see that healing is available for all, but there are some hindrances that stop us from getting to that healing and the miracle that we desire from the Lord. It's already completed. Jesus already finished the work. Now, let me pray with you. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone that is hearing this message or watching either on YouTube or on our website, Lord, that the healing virtue of God will flow into their body today in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Because I know from your word that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I know because they've heard the word today, faith has been produced on the inside of them. So I join my faith with them. I command healing to happen from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. I rebuke sickness. I rebuke high problem. I rebuke high blood pressure. I rebuke the spirit of cancer. I rebuke rheumatoid arthritis. I command the life of God to come into your body right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I release the anointing for healing to flow into your body and effect a healing and a deliverance in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We worship you because you have done it. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. On our next broadcast, we'll continue this exciting and powerful study.
Thank you for being with us for today's broadcast. We believe this message has been a blessing to you. Don't forget to visit our website, bicconline.org, for more resources like books, videos, blogs, free gospel tracts, and more. We also invite you to subscribe to our social media feeds to get up-to-date messages, blogs, and upcoming event information from this ministry. Until our next broadcast, remember, God loves you with an everlasting love. Jesus is Lord, and He is your healer.